Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, Aiken, South Carolina. We are the Loving Church with Jesus at our heart. I believe we have one visitor that's sitting in front of Don. Would you like to introduce yourself, sir?
He was here last week.
He was here last week.
Yeah. Okay, well, I didn't see him last week, so. Anyway, welcome. Uh-huh. Okay. Announcement. This Sunday at 3:30, well, I'll do that one last. Okay, remember that spring forward. Remember, daylight saving time begins next Sunday. So make sure you put your your clocks 1 hour ahead. Spring ahead. Bingo and dessert night will be Friday the 13th. Uh-oh. At 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Saturday morning at 10 will be the DWF meeting in Fellowship Hall. And let's see.
Please come. We need
yes.
You.
Uh-huh. I believe that I want to read this and then let Pastor Irene finish it. This Sunday at 3:30, which is today, in the Fellowship Hall, that will be the first session of our Lenten study led by Pastor Irene. Come to study and invite a friend.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, like what Judy just said, please come, we need you. I hope everyone will come. This is not just a women's study only. We'd like some men. And what we're going to do is a Bible study. We're taking Jesus' walk towards his own death and letting us learn what can Jesus teach us about facing death. And it's not going to be depressing or sad. It's just going to be informative and a scriptural study that might help all of us. So I hope to see you at 3:30.
Any other announcements? Yes, Jim.
When is Carrie
Ann? Oh, Carrie Ann is the second Sunday.
Next Sunday.
That would be next Saturday.
No.
Today is the first. Today is the first. Yeah. Okay. Everyone got that? Carrie Ann next Sunday. Men's breakfast a week from Saturday. Any other announcements? Quiz me. Go ahead. Yes. I know that answer. Okay, before we begin, please remember to turn off or silence your cell phones, please. Okay, if there's no other announcements, let's stand as we are able for the call to worship. In this season of Lent, a time of preparation,
God calls us together to worship, to pray, to sing, to listen to God's voice.
As we walk with Jesus on the road to Jerusalem,
we see looming before us a cross, a shadow on the horizon.
We gather as fellow travelers to the city, the cross, and what lies beyond.
God has called us together, and so we worship, we pray, we sing, we listen.
Remain standing for the opening hymn, number 180, Lord, throughout these 40 days.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear God, we are mindful of our beginning of our journey to Lent. We ask you to be with us as we continue to rend our hearts and examine our souls as we walk with you to the cross. Be with us as we worship you this day, hearing us as we pray as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We will continue our worship as we remain seated and sing hymn number 5, O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Thank you. As y'all can tell, I am struggling with a voice. I have more today than I had yesterday when I had zero. So prayer works and gargling with salt water and drinking lots of tea and honey. So I appreciate Jim's willingness to help out today with communion because I would like to save enough voice to also have the Lenten study this afternoon. We have on our prayer thanks to Judy and to Pat for going to Camp Christian and bringing the barbecue dinners back yesterday. So thank you for that. We also have on our prayer list Chuck and Ida Bassey. I spoke with her this morning. I've been speaking, well, I texted her yesterday because I couldn't speak to her. But Chuck, as you know, had surgery on Tuesday. And Wednesday, after the Ash Wednesday service, I went and took the service to them. It was kind of funny because here we are in the ICU with gowns and gloves, and she wants Chuck to get ashes. And I said, I don't think I'm supposed to do that. So she said, well, he needs them. And I said, okay. So I mean, it was the faintest smothering of ashes ever given to anybody. But it was a very nice service in their room. But he had surgery on Tuesday. He got out of the ICU, and I apologize for the quality of that announcement because my voice was going at the time. But then on Friday, he went back for more surgery in the same three places, and he did not have to go back to ICU. He went back to his regular room, and she said that he slept well last night. His appetite is good, and from all they can tell, he's not having pain. They are going to have to go back at least one more time to those same three spots because the infection had gotten into the bone. But she wants y'all to continue praying for them, and she thanks you for their prayers. Pray for me, my voice. Also for the coronavirus victims. And as we know, the victims are not just the ones that are sick. The victims are ones whose travel has been changed and whose jobs are on hold. And there's just the ones that have money in the stock market. The victims go wide with this. And Carol Kettle. Are there any other? I have a joy. Talked to Wanda today, who I didn't recognize because they're sitting on the wrong side of the church. I thought to myself, that man looks so much like Jerry. And it is Jerry. But anyway, Wanda, tell them what you had for breakfast this morning.
Yeah, waffles and sausage.
Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. That is a prayer answered for sure. Amen. Amen. And Anna, a testimony to your perseverance, too. Yeah. All right. Any other joys? Oh, yes, Paul.
Just an upgrade. I haven't said this. Dad McAvoy is a friend of mine. He's goes to one of my VA classes, and he was diagnosed with lung cancer over a year ago. And he keeps having reactions to the chemo. And so I asked him, I said, if you ever need anything, call me. Well, lo and behold, he called me.
Oh, wow.
And I got to be at his house because his wife is going in for a biopsy on her breast. So she's had cancer before. So be careful what you ask for because they may ask me to come. But I'm glad that he called.
Yeah.
I can be able to with this.
Well, good. And that reminds me, Ed, who's not here this morning, wanted me to put his good friend Ray Sanders on our prayer list. Ray is dealing with kind of the progressed stages of prostate cancer. It's gone into his bone, and they can't relieve his pain. So his name is Ray Sanders. He lives in Massachusetts. Are there others? Okay, let's, oh, yes.
I have a joy that I'm here with my mom.
Yeah. We're glad you're here too. Thank you. All right, let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity to address you in person with the concerns and the joys of our heart. We give you thanks for Judy and for Pat and for their safe travel yesterday as they went to Camp Christian to bring back food. We also give you thanks for the successful barbecue that Camp Christian had. And we ask your continued blessing on that ministry as it revitalizes itself and seeks to become a better part of our regional church. We give you thanks for visitors today, visitors who have been here many times and visitors who have been here once. And we celebrate today with Wanda the beauty of food and her ability to taste it and enjoy it again. We pray for Ida and for Chuck. We pray for Ida as she drives back and forth from Eisenhower each day. Pray for her safety and her stamina. And we pray for Chuck and for his healing process and to keep him pain-free as he heals. We pray for Carol and for Dan and for Ray and for all the others dealing with diagnosis of cancer and other illnesses. We pray for the many ways people are affected by this virus. We pray for people's financial stability. We pray for health. We pray for calmness. And we pray for people keeping their heads about them and being safe. We also pray for healing and for an end to this virus. We continue to pray for our world and our government and our own election process as we enter into this special week of primaries. We pray for safety in the polls and for clarity of people as they think and vote. We pray for respect of differences of opinions, and we pray for unity. Dear God, we also pray for this church as we continue to walk through Lent. We pray that you will keep us, our eyes focused on you, and speak to us in ways that we hear you. Give us courage to face our sins and our shortcomings. And give us courage to accept your forgiveness. And hear us now as we pray. Thank you. One of the beauties of the Disciples of Christ Church is the ability to lean on the elders. So I appreciate Jim and the other elders to be able to fill the table duties today. It's time now for our communion. If you're able to stand, please join us and stand and sing hymn number 387, Bread of the World in Mercy Broken.
This table during this Lenten season, it reminds us that this is the time for repentance and asking God's forgiveness for our sins. As we go forth, let us take this moment to think about our walk with God.
Let us pray for the bread. Heavenly Father, as we gather here at your table to participate in Holy Communion, let us remember that this bread represents your Son's broken body that he gave up so our sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. Help us to live out each and every day of our lives to give meaning to that great sacrifice. We accept now your covenant of love as our gift to receive and our responsibility to share. Amen.
On the night he was betrayed, Christ took bread, broke it, asked his disciples, say, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat this in remembrance of me."
For the cup. Lord, as we drink this wine, we remember that you are the giver of life. You are forgiveness. You bring deep peace to our souls, and your love flows within us. As we pour out this wine, we see your sacrifice poured out for us. We notice the depth of your goodness and the pain you suffered for us. We dwell upon the intimacy of human life and the price you paid to set humanity free. Yet just as the tombstone rolled away to unleash the risen Lord, your light shines in our hearts now, extinguishing all darkness to release heaven's blessings upon us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And after the meal, he took the cup and blessed it and said to his disciples, "This is my blood shed for the remission of your sins. Drink this until I come and be with you again. Amen." It's now time to give back a little portion of what God has given to us in our weekly offering. O Heavenly Father, please accept these gifts, a token of our love for you, and use this money to extend your realm on earth and in the coming days. In Jesus' name, we give thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand for the doxology.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Temptation of Jesus. When Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. God bless the reading and hearing of this word.
Thank you, choir, and thank you, Paula. The struggle is real. Now, that's a saying that a lot of people say nowadays. It's my daughter's favorite saying. She's raising four children, ages 2 through 7, as a stay-at-home mom, and the struggle is real. But what I've liked about her maturity, as both a mom and as a person, is that instead of using that saying as a cop-out, she usually has now become using it when she's just got through a struggle, as a way of celebrating that the struggle is real, and that she is capable of struggle. Now, our scripture today, our first Sunday in Lent, that Paula just read, reminds us as Christians that the struggle is real. Now, it might not be the reminder that we want, but the people who put together the lectionary readings, every year they start Lent with one version of Jesus' temptation in the desert. Now, it's tempting for us to make Jesus better than Jesus is, meaning not human. We are focused because we learned about Jesus after his death and resurrection. And we know that Jesus is part of that second part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We also confess that Jesus is our Savior and our Redeemer. So those help us not see Jesus as a human being. And yet, for those 33 years that Jesus lived on earth, he lived as a human being. Now, I say that not to help us diminish Jesus at all, but to help us see that he gets it. He understands temptation. He understands the struggle is real because he was also tempted. Now, it's easy to read this passage because they just kind of glip through them one after the other and just check off the box, oh, we got that one. Oh, we got that one. But I have a feeling that these were not easy temptations for Jesus. Just like our temptations are not easy for us. And I think about, those of you that were here Wednesday when we talked about Lent rending our heart so that we know what's inside, I picture these very excruciating temptations that Jesus went through as part of Jesus having to rend his heart to figure out what answer he needed to give to each situation so that he could be who he was. We want a Christ that understands us. So yes, Jesus knows about the struggle being real. We can't take any human problem to Christ and that he doesn't understand. Even though he was male and I'm female, he gets sorrow. He gets agony. He gets choice. He gets all those things that we deal with as humans. And you know, the timing of this struggle is also not surprising at all. The gospel writers put it right, either right immediately after, like Matthew did, or soon after, like Mark did. His time in the desert, his temptation, follows right after, or very soon after, his baptism. A baptism, if you remember a sermon a couple weeks ago, where right when he's coming out of the water, the skies open up, and God says, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." That's a pretty spiritual high, wouldn't you think? And then to go right into the desert and be tempted. The temptations in our life follow that pattern. Often it's right after we are just like, man, we got this. And then, bam, life comes up and hands us something else. There's a saying that says, what goes up must come down. And I like that saying sometimes, but I don't want it to be about my spiritual life. I want my spiritual life to go up and stay up. And yet, this time of passage in the desert, Jesus was prayed up, he was baptized, he was spirit-filled, the dove landed on his shoulder, and he still struggled through this time. It helps us know that we never should think, I've made it. Because once it helps us understand the rhythm that when things are going well, we need to be ready. Because it doesn't stay that way. It goes back, but it doesn't stay. Now, this rhythm is not new in this story either. If you go back to the Israelites, when they went into the promised land, went into Egypt, they parted the Red Sea. All these people were charging after them, and God parted the Red Sea, and they walked through. I can't even picture how powerful that would have been to be an Israelite walking through the middle of a sea. I would think, man, if this is the beginning, it's only going to get better from here. And instead, they went to 40 years of wandering, of making decisions, of being tested. And they didn't do so good. In fact, Moses, as their leader, he did so poorly in making decisions that he didn't get to go to the promised land. Jesus, thankfully, passed all those tests. So we have a model of both, which is good for me as a human because I need both. We have times when we fail miserably, our temptations. And then there have times when we succeed. But the whole word temptation or being tested is not keenly thought of. We seem to think of it as a sign of being weak. If you were tempted, you must be weak. Or we didn't know enough scripture, or we haven't prayed enough. But this story of Jesus tells us just the opposite. That the stronger we are, the harder the test, and the more powerful they're going to come. That allows us, for what good it does, but sometimes it does, it allows us to realize we're not being tested because we're weak. We're being tested because we have the ability to be strong. It's how our faith and our identity get formed. I read a post this week by one of the former chaplain residents that was in our program about 10 years ago at Palmetto Health. These are seminary, right after seminary, they come and they spend a year working as a chaplain but continuing their theological education. And Joe had been assigned when he was a resident to the NICU. He wasn't married, he didn't have children, but he was a good chaplain in the NICU. What he was writing this time was about 3 weeks ago, he and his wife had their first child. And the baby spent 2 weeks in the NICU, the very same NICU at Richland where Joe had been a resident. And he shared how much he learned by being a parent that he never knew back when he was a chaplain, of how scary it was to have your child in the NICU, how scary all the surroundings were of watching other babies, some get well and some not. He said that he now understands what he didn't understand back then of what it means to be a parent in the NICU. I think God having Jesus come as a human being is akin to that experience. There's certain things we only learn from experience. And I think having Jesus experience being human, meaning also being tested, helps me know that when Jesus looks at me with compassion, that that compassion is grounded with the understanding that comes from experience. Joe also shared that when the doctor was explaining what their newborn son needed and how it would probably be there a week or two to do everything, Joe, knowing all the different resources that the NICU had, he said, why don't you just get him in, move him now, do that stuff now. And the doctor said, because if we don't let him struggle, he won't develop what he needs to grow. Isn't that amazing? If we don't struggle, we don't develop the lung capacity in a baby's case or whatever that they need to grow. She said that that parental desire to move him past the struggle might sound like the very loving thing to do, but it would prevent him from ever being able to leave the NICU. Wow. That's amazing to think that when we love someone, often we want to move them past what they need to grow, because what they need to grow comes in struggle. And we have a God who trusted us, who trusted Jesus Christ, his own self and son, to go to earth and struggle. Now, I don't think God knew exactly what Jesus was going to say. Y'all may have a different theology about that, and that's fine. I like the fact that God trusted Jesus, and he could have screwed it up, but he didn't. He managed to make it through, but I don't think it was easy. I think it was agony. In order to save my voice for this afternoon, I'm not going to go through each temptation and look at what was Jesus tempted about, but I want to look at the three of them as a whole and look at what can we learn. Each temptation invited Jesus to substitute later for now. Food, power, fame, glory. Each temptation pointed Jesus to a bigger goal, but also tempted him with an immediate answer. You know, our lives are like that. Sometimes, and if you've ever been hungry, you can understand it. Jesus was hungry. And I imagine that temptation for bread was pretty darn strong because the man was hungry. Jesus also, I think, knew that to do what God had wanted him to do, it wasn't going to end in an earthly way very pretty. And, you know, here was the tempter inviting him, you could have it right now. But he had to worship a different God. And that was the change. And if you think about our temptations, especially the ones that are the most alluring or the most tempting, it takes our worship away from God to some other God. Keeping that big picture in mind can help each of us when we're tempted. Things that we feel like, you know, it won't hurt just this one time, but it skews the direction of the ultimate goal. The other thing that Jesus taught us was that each time he answered the temptation or the tempter, he did it by quoting Scripture. Now, one time, if you pay attention, that even the tempter had used Scripture to tempt Jesus. You know, people do that. Sometimes people use Scripture to tempt us. That's why we have to know it ourselves. Being grounded in the Word, knowing what the Bible says, knowing what it says for us, can help us the same way it helped Jesus, because it gives us an answer when we really want to answer the other way. All of Jesus' answers tied back to one key Scripture in Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That was Jesus' go-to verse that he grounded himself in through those temptations. What is your go-to verse? What do you have in your heart and in your soul and in your mind that gives you a scripture grounding to give an answer to the tempter? But you know, these temptations, they're important, and since we're going through Lent, and it's helpful for us to realize that life isn't just difficult for us, that life is just difficult. And sometimes it means when life is the most difficult, it means we're living it the most fully. But the verse that touched me the most wasn't about the temptations. The verse that touched me the most was verse 11. After the tempter left, suddenly angels came and waited on him. I don't know that I ever remember that verse being in the Bible until now. And I looked in all these commentaries and they don't talk about it. They just skip on to the next. But for me, I stayed there because I thought, you know what? Here is Jesus modeling us how to accept pastoral care. In other words, I think Jesus was so exhausted from that struggle that he allowed the angels to minister to him. I can't tell you the amount of times I'll talk to one of you and you'll say, well, don't put it on the calling post or don't let anybody know. Why? We are church. This is what church is. After the tempter left, the angels came and waited on him. If we come to church and we don't say, usually, whew, this has been a rough week. I was tempted 3 times, and let me tell you. No, we come to church like, man, I got it. You know, I got this. What can I help you do? Being church means to come where we are. And if we were tempted last week and we made it through or we didn't, the angels can be here to minister to us. We don't need to hide our exhaustion or our temptations. We don't need to pretend they don't exist. We need to share them with one another because we don't know which one sitting around here is going to be the angel God has waiting to send to us, because that angel might have gone through something very similar. See, when we don't let other people know what we're dealing with, we cut them off from being one of the best resources God has planned in our life. My sister lost her son when he was 2 to a drowning accident the day before Christmas Eve. It rocked my world and her world. But yet, years later, she would tell me that when somebody in her community, when their child died, whenever she would go see them, they would always get up and come and hug her, because they would say, I know that you know. If we don't know what each other struggle with, then we don't know who can be our angel. Struggle is real, and God has given us answers. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for Lent, for time to slow ourselves down, to look at what's in our heart, to look honestly at our temptations, to look honestly at the exhaustion of those around us. Help us to be your angels and minister to those we see. Help us to have the courage to let your angels minister to us. Amen. Our invitation hymn today is If You Will Trust in God to Guide You. In addition to invitation being as any disciple church for membership, I want to invite all of us to continue to invite ourselves into Lent and trust God to guide us. Hymn number 565, Stand If You Are Able. Thank you. Now, as you walk this week in Lent, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with kindness and give you peace. Amen. Our going forth song is Let Us Now Depart in Peace, 444, and we will sing it twice.